What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me right now in the booth, Mr. John Sosas. How are you, brother?
I'm great. We're here.
We're here.
We are here. Yeah. I'm controlling the cameras, the board. It's different. This is different for me.
Oh, yeah. We're doing this until Earl arrives to talk AEW, but I wanted to start the show off, you know, and it feels like it's every week now, and I've said this before, but it just sucks. We lost another brother. Darren Drozdov, formerly known as Puke, passed away recently. He got paralyzed back in 1999. He was a quadriplegic. But from everything I read online, he was a really great guy backstage, very motivational for everybody. Whenever anybody would get an injury, he would help out talking. So, you know, it's a good brother to have. You know, my memory of him will always and forever be Vince McMahon trying to get him to puke in that movie Beyond the Mat. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it. But the whole he's gonna puke is just burned in my brain from that movie. But his work in the ring, you know, he didn't really get a lot of time to do stuff in the ring before his injury that, you know, paralyzed him. But apparently WWE really took care of him, took care of all his medical bills and everything. So that's good on them, considering their track record with other athletes that have been injured. But anyway, rest in peace, rest in power to Darren Draws. Sad news aside, we had a pretty fun premium live event this past weekend. Early Saturday, we had Money in the Bank out of London. And I got to say, I had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was a good pay-per-view. More matches than normal. Usually we've been getting five from WWE, but we got seven. And it started off hot.
Can I just say, I love the noon pay-per-views. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You wake up, you watch some wrestling, you continue with your weekend, you're good to go.
I love it. I love it. Do more of it. In fact, even the non-overseas shows, just start doing them early. Fuck it. Yeah, it's great because I got to, like you said, just get up, have breakfast, watch some fun wrestling, and then continue doing other things throughout the day. But it started off super hot with the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. A lot of fun. I was expecting it to be fun right out of the gate just because of the talent that was involved. But boy, oh boy, can we talk a little bit about Mr. L.A. Knight?
L.A. Knight. Wow. First of all, what's crazy, and this has happened the last few pay-per-views with him, the last few events with him, WWE must be fucking around with the audience mics, because when he posts the clips from fans that are actually at the show, you hear what's actually going on in there versus what you hear on TV. It's chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty loud. I mean, the pay-per-view was pretty loud. You know, typically they muffle the sound a little bit. They throw some booze in there. But this time it felt like they were not having it with the London crowd was not having it. They were very, very, very excited to see LA Knight. Biggest pop of the night. And I believe,
second after Cena. I think Cena got a bigger pop.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But there was a level of confusion with Cena because I don't think anybody thought he was really there. I read a few accounts of it. People thought that it was a promo for 2K23. So they didn't know he was actually there till he walked out. But yeah, LA, let's get back to LA Knight. The man of the hour. The guy, he's going to be a champ. Even Triple H said in the press conference, things come to those who wait. And I'm like, okay, LA is going to have to earn it a little bit. He's earned it, but he's going to have to wait a little bit longer. It's not going to be through the cash-in, but he's going to be champion.
Absolutely. Yeah, I saw that press conference too. And, I mean, it's a little, don't say things like that and if you're not going to deliver, Mr. Triple H, but I can't wait. You know, everybody, I think, in our world was disappointed that he didn't win the match, but it still felt like he came out of that as the biggest star of the match. The pop from the crowd, not just in his entrance, but when he got on the top rope, put his hands up, like the whole crowd. I haven't seen that in a very long time. I mean, I don't know, maybe Puerto Rico, but it's been a while since I've seen a reaction like that.
And also, anytime he got into the ring, the crowd popped, like in the middle of the match, especially if he was fucking over Logan Paul for anything. But when he's announced by the ring announcer, LA Knight, and the entire audience screams, yeah, you didn't hear it on TV, but it is loud when you watch a clip from the venue, from the O2. Yeah. that's it. It's and if Triple H, I mean, Triple H is smart. I think we've had some consecutively great pay-per-views. He's not going to get it. Let it get to Daniel Bryan levels of like overtaking the show. I think right now we're at the level of we're supporting this guy. We want him to win. We're cool with Damian Priest winning because he also earned it. He, like Seth Rollins, he's basically been shit on for a few years,
yeah,
losing some big matches. So I'm happy for Damian Priest. LA Knight's going to be a champion very soon, and the crowd will go nuts.
Now, how do we book LA Knight becoming champ? I mean, do we go world heavyweight? Or
there's some... There,
I mean, is he on SmackDown or a Raw?
He's on SmackDown.
He's on SmackDown. So he would have to go after the Universal title.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, my original thought, which would have been the biggest pop in WWE history, I said it last week, would have been he wins the suitcase, he wins the briefcase, and he cashes in after the Usos beat Roman and Roman's just out of commission. That would have been the biggest pop in WWE history. Easily. And I thought Damian Priest might even come out and do that to also get a pop. But I don't think they want to turn Damian Priest's face right now. I think that's what they're going to do with Balor. So I don't know. I think you book it by... I would hate for him to have to wait till the Rumble, but him winning the Rumble would be huge.
Ooh, that would be huge.
I think he might just naturally challenge Roman and take the win. I think the Usos... I think they're slowly chopping away at Roman. They're slowly like, okay, first he's gonna lose his he's gonna lose Sammy, then he loses his family, then he loses his record, 3 years without being pinned. The next thing will have to be either he loses Solo.
Yeah.
Like they're slowly taking everything away from him, and I think the final straw is going to be. Is going to be the title, and I don't think that's going to go to an Uso. I think it would either go to Cody Rhodes or LA Knight, and I want Cody Rhodes to finish the story. I hope it's against the champion, and it doesn't necessarily have to be against Roman Reigns, because if that's the case, we're going to have to wait till Mania for that match, and then we won't see LA Knight have a title shot till probably next summer.
Yeah, I mean, will we be as happy if he were to get perhaps the Intercontinental Championship?
I mean, I think that's what they're going to end up doing, but I don't want that. I don't want him being the Intercontinental Championship's great. He's world. You have to burn while it's hot. You need to give him a title. I would even have him pop up on Raw potentially tomorrow, and or tonight if you're listening to this. I guess it's coming out tomorrow. Yeah. I would have him pop up on Raw and challenge Damian for
the suitcase
or. Or have him go after Seth. If Seth is a fighting champion, like they say, like have him win it on Raw and really throw people for a loop. But you have to give him the title right now before people just assume he's never getting it and just give up.
Yeah, they have to do something to keep this momentum going. I mean, Triple H said it's going to keep going up. But the fans are a little fickle, you know? They're hot right now, and if they don't see any kind of momentum, they're just going to turn on them. Not turn, but maybe just kind of dwindle off. And I don't want to see that because, man, I got, like you said, I got goosebumps when he came out, when he said his, you know, L.A. Knight, and the whole freaking place blew the roof off the place. Was there even a roof? Who knows? I wasn't paying attention. I was too excited. But, yeah, he needs something championship-wise. It's a tough situation where we're at because, like you said, Cody needs to finish the story. But I was analyzing this. Can Cody finish the story? Because he already came out. He said, I don't want he'll take the world heavyweight title, but that's not the story. The story is a title his dad never got. But that title doesn't exist.
I mean, it technically does with Roman.
Not really. It's the Universal Championship.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the WWE Championship is kind of just melded into that now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Cody. The good thing is Cody is paying his dues, even though there's probably a part of him that feels like he doesn't have to. He's coming in, he's helping Dominic. That was what it was. It was decent for a random match for Cody Rhodes. I think Cody, I don't know what they're going to do with. They just need to put a belt on LA Knight while it's there, especially if they want to move titles, like the way that they sell the titles on the merch shop. Oh, LA yeah. Knight will sell titles. That's the same way The Rock did, the way Austin did. It was all mic work that got people wanting to talk shit, hold a belt. LA Knight's the dude right now, and if they wait too long, they're going to fuck it up. If he loses any matches for the next few weeks, They're going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
He needs to just keep chugging along after losing. And even the last five minutes of the match, every time he got on the ladder, they went fucking nuts.
That last bit, because the last bit, they played it in a way where he took everybody out. LA Knight went, took each member out of the match and started climbing up, and the crowd was on fire. And I know that the comparisons have been made with Stone Cold and The Rock, but it was that level of crowd reaction. The people were jumping and hands were going up, and it was just kind of like this, like, come on, come on. So I really haven't seen that kind of excitement for one particular superstar, since maybe the Sammy stuff with Roman, but even that, man, it was unbelievable. And such a simple, yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's all it takes. Just the way he delivers it, everybody wants to do it. Everybody wants to chant along. And
I started doing it at kickball. It's a fucking problem. anytime somebody kicks a single or a double, we're all doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I respond to my wife now. Shady, yeah.
That's a problem, too. That's not going to be great.
No.
There are two things I didn't like, which is every ladder match. The fucking... How hard is it to unhook a briefcase?
Boy, oh boy.
That when he got grabbed by the throat, I the second I saw him fumble the hook, I was like, oh, he's not winning. Yeah. This sucks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. I mean, this is me maybe just being a little too on the inside. I saw his interview with Chris Van Vliet, which was great. They're good buddies, so they have good chemistry when they talk. But when was it Chris Van Vliet or was it Ariel Helwani? He did a couple of interviews for media, but there was one. It was either Chris Van Vliet or Helwani where they asked him, like, is it a mistake if they don't give you the briefcase? And his reaction kind of was like a little bit of a tell for me where I looked at him. I'm like, oh, no. Because he said... He was kind of like, well, you know, the business is, you know, he started going into like a discussion of like how it's not WWE's fault. So immediately, you know, because if he was winning, he would have done the heel move and just been like, oh, of course it's a mistake. You know, give it to me. I'm the champ or whatever. But it felt like he had like, well, you know, it's not a mistake if, you know, because there's a lot of moving parts and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, fuck, I hope he doesn't lose. That once the good camera work, by the way, when he went up for the briefcase and Damian Priest choked him, it looked like the cover of Evil Dead for a second there. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean,
it was a good match. LA Knight, I think I'm okay with Damian Priest winning because I think he's a Triple H guy. He's proven that he could carry celebrities the way he's been working with Bad Bunny. I think Damian Priest. If LA Knight was not in the match, I would have said Damian Priest should have gotten that.
Sure, yeah.
But this was, I mean, LA Knight's going to have to earn it the hard way, which is just keep having these matches and getting through them and winning and then eventually coming out and confronting a champion. And I don't think Roman's going to be I think they're trying to beat Hogan's record. So I don't know if we're going to see Roman lose the title anytime soon. I also don't understand why Roman's carrying three fucking belts now.
Well, to be fair, point of Paul Heyman's carrying two of them, but yes.
That's the whole point of the new belt was to get rid of the other two, I thought. What's going on?
Here's an Easter egg, by the way. I don't know if you noticed. The WWE belt, the black one, has Brock Lesnar's side plates on it.
So you think, oh, don't tell me he's coming back, and now we're going to have three champions across two shows.
I don't know. We'll see. I doubt they do. I don't know if they'll split them up like that, but I did notice that on camera, and you could tell kind of Heyman's trying to cover it, but you can clearly see Brock Lesnar's side plate.
So you think Brock's coming back to break the streak, to win the titles back?
Probably.
And then it's going to be Heyman switches sides again, Roman's losing everything.
Roman loses everything.
But now we're back to, how many times, didn't they wrestle 18 times last year? We had Brock versus Roman 15 times in 3 months. Enough.
It's enough.
You have LA Knight who could pull a surprise win over a Roman Reigns, even if somebody helped him out, even if the Usos cost him the match. You have... versus Rollins would be a solid match. I mean, enough. We need some new blood in here. Enough.
Yeah. I mean, look, Priest deserves it, and I still, I would argue that Priest needed it more than LA Knight, as you can clearly see with the crowd reaction. But I mean, how do you just deny yourself one of the biggest pops? Like, how crazy would that crowd have gone if LA Knight grabbed that suitcase?
Especially because nobody's guaranteed a WrestleMania moment. So you have a whole year to create these other moments that if LA Knight ends up getting that big WrestleMania moment. This is part of that story, but not every superstar gets it. So to have the opportunity to give him that moment that you catch on tape in another country with one of the craziest crowds you get.
Yeah.
To not give him, and you still get those reactions, obviously, they were going nuts for him, but to not give him that briefcase was just mind-blowing to me, because that would have been a clip that you post everywhere, and that's mm-hmm. the world we live in. They're posting match results 10 seconds after they happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been a ridiculous clip. I mean, only akin to maybe that one Royal Rumble where Drew McIntyre threw Brock over. Nobody thought that was going to happen. The crowd went nuts. Like, that's that moment. And they missed it. They missed that opportunity. But I get it. I get the move for Priest. Priest needs it more for the story with Finn, because that's going to cause the friction for Judgment Day and all that. So,
well, I will say this. With Triple H, or at least I'm giving Triple H the credit, it seems like surprises are back.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that with John Cena. So I guess Damian Priest winning, either somebody in WWE, one of the match producers had a lot of money on Damian Priest with DraftKings and decided let's give it to him, because we're now gambling on wrestling now. I'm going to say either somebody made a lot of money last night, or they just were like, let's surprise the audience. They're not expecting this. They're thinking it's going to be Logan or LA. Let's give it to them. And then the Cena thing. But here's the last thing I'll say about LA Knight. That's that theme music, when it hits, it's great. When you listen to the lyrics, you're like, who is this guy? there's like a line in there. The robot voice in there, the vocals on there, says, I want to see you dance. And I'm like, I think they had a different vision for the LA Knight character.
Well, obviously, I mean, we saw the Vince McMahon's vision for that character with Max Dupree. Whew, I don't know. Yeah,
that would be a long conversation I would have with him if we ever get him on the show, which I hope he comes on. That's a conversation I need to have with him. Like, how do you look at where you were when you first got moved up to the main roster, and look where you are now? Is there a better feeling than knowing you were right the entire time?
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully they don't fumble this ball. I've been burned one too many times by WWE, especially with people like Finn Balor or Bray Wyatt in the past. But I think they'll pull the trigger on LA Knight. I hope that they do. There were other really good things in that ladder match as well. The Logan Paul table spot was, I mean, I yelled. He landed straight on his head from what I saw. Cut open his shoulder, I believe, as well.
He rolled and landed on it. When they showed the replay, I saw him land on his shoulder. I said, oh, he's fine. But then I saw the blood. I was like, he cut himself.
Yeah. It was a weird situation, because they kind of botched the rope spot. LA pushed them in towards the, you know, when they do that spot in the ladder where they push towards the ropes. Ricochet and Logan Paul jumped and kind of were supposed to, I guess, bounce off of the ropes and do something crazy into the tables. But there was a lot of fumbling going on, but Ricochet just wasn't having it. He wasn't going to botch this spot and just grabbed them and dragged them and threw them down as everybody's shock and awe. Because I honestly thought they were going to hurt themselves for real when I saw the fumbling on the ropes. But that was a very cool spot. The fucking,
they saved it. That was
yeah.
Like what you said, I thought they were both tumbling over, and they actually were able to keep their balance, which was super impressive.
Very impressive. Look who decided to join the show.
You guys have top-notch security here.
So. Oh, they card you at the door? They wouldn't let you in? Oh, God. Yeah, we were talking about Money in the Bank. I think you dropped something. I don't know. We were talking about Money in the Bank. We talked about LA Knight's ridiculous pop and how over he. I mean, it's just insane the level of over that he's
They'll
at right
him
now.
Over.
You think so?
They'll have him job to someone, Omos.
I would agree with you if this was still like the Vince McMahon show, but it's a Triple H show with Vince McMahon's kind of like poking the bear situation. We'll see.
You think Omos is going to be the downfall of LA Knight?
I'm telling you, they're building LA Knight up for a reason. Just to tear him down. Like, don't get too cocky, kid. Here's a dark match with Omos. And no, I don't mean because it's Omos. It's just off TV. And
And you know, you think like the reason Vince didn't want to push him at first was because he thought he was old, because he's 40. Finn Balor's older. I had no idea.
LA Knight's 40?
Or LA Knight's
he
40.
He looks great for 40.
Yeah, he came out and convinced Triple H that, you know, look, I've had a blessed career where I haven't had the amount of injuries that all of these guys have had. He's had a pretty good career where he hasn't been hurt. So he is 40, but he's not like normal 40-year-olds in wrestling that are actually 80 years old, you know?
Right.
He's doing all right.
That's also why I get nervous whenever, I mean, and this is pretty much every time with AEW, this is why I get nervous when they take these guys who are like, yeah, I rarely get hurt, and then they put them in a ladder match.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, here we go. You got to earn the right to have the title. You're going to potentially break your back.
Or a 63-year-old doing a wild table. I know we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the ladders in London, what are they fucking made of?
Steve.
Not a single one.
My God. None of them broke. That one spot that Logan Paul did, he just bounced.
On Damian Priest?
Yeah, he just bounced right off of it. I mean, I'm sure that knocked the wind out of him. He wasn't expecting that.
Oh, look at Damian Priest's face when that happened. You could tell he was like, that hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? He also knew that he was getting the briefcase, so he was like, I'll suck it up. I can't play hurt now.
There's no way he didn't get at least one broken rib.
Wait, but did you see the clip, the Logan Paul Prime clip?
Oh, they threw a bottle of Prime.
I think it was KSI.
KSI, yeah.
There's a clip from the audience where KSI goes, you need your Prime. You're running out of energy, and throws him the bottle. And then Logan crawls under the ladder and drinks his Prime.
I mean, I will say I do drink Prime, and it's not horrible. Their Icy Pop flavor is really good.
You heard it here. Earl wants a sponsorship from Logan Paul. Prime, get at us. We need more sponsors.
We need a sponsor.
A sponsor would be good. Yeah, but dude, Escobar looked amazing, by the way, with his entrance, looking like an Aztec warrior. Great spots. Like, everybody did great. I thought it was a fun match. Moving along from that, the women's ladder match was amazing, too. Maybe even better than the men's one. It was kind of crazy. I wasn't expecting that because we had two different stories happening at the same time. We had Becky and Trish and Zoe Stark fighting off on one side, and we had the whole Bayley and Io Sky drama going on. But a lot of really good spots, really fun match, not a whole lot of botches that I can remember or recall from seeing in that match.
I didn't watch it, in all honesty.
Oh, well, dude, go watch it. It was actually really, really good.
No, I don't think there was a weak match on the card.
No, not really.
They may have looked weak on paper. I don't know. But that women's ladder match was amazing.
Yeah.
I watched the men's match. That was like, I won't say on what site, but let's just say it was in Russian lettering.
Wait.
I will pay. I will go home tonight on DirecTV. That's how I watch my pay-per-views.
You need to just get Peacock.
Peacock.
It's $10 a month.
That's where
and
I
you
watched
get
it.
Every pay-per-view.
Eddie's
paying for it, you should be paying for it.
Well, no, it's not about the money. It's just my. I have an older smart TV, so I need to get a new TV because it's not. I can't do Hulu or Peacock.
Or play AEW forever, fight forever. You know.
Well, that's the plan. Well, we're going to do a sneak preview later on this week, maybe.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, good fun match with the women. The correct choice was made with Io Sky. I don't think anybody was arguing that. I think we all picked Io Sky, so that's cool. She'll probably go after Asuka, which is kind of Io Sky winning kind of shows that Charlotte's not going to take that belt from Asuka because we don't want Io Sky versus Charlotte. Everybody wants Io Sky versus Asuka, so we'll see that match, I'm sure, down the road. Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio. Dominic just gets better and better for me every match, dude. This match did nothing but good things for him, made him look good. I thought it was interesting that it was actually like a legit match. I thought Cody was just going to squash him.
Oh, I didn't think that was going to happen. I think this is his NXT. I think Dom didn't go to NXT. He came in, he kind of got the fast track, and he was not good. And I still dislike him on the mic. I don't think he's comfortable enough for me to be like, I believe what he's saying, but he's getting better. He's visibly getting better, and putting him up. Listen, not to say that some of these guys aren't helping carry the matches, but they're putting him up against professionals.
Yeah.
And this is his NXT.
Yeah, I liked his little like the pistolero, like the bullet bandoliers on his entrance.
I mean, this whole prison dom thing is getting out of control.
I love it.
Who are the prison guards? Six comics?
I love it. Keep it coming.
His dad wasn't good on the mic either, so no. I don't think he like at least with Cody. I mean, Dusty Rhodes might be the greatest of all time on the mic, you know. Because
but it could be taught.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about him to say. You know, to me, mic skills you either have or you don't. And he seems not uncomfortable in front of the camera, but, you know, like almost shy, and he is young. So I don't know if he can be taught.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they're doing is great with having Rhea do most of the talking. Just have him say a couple things, get some heat, don't let people let him talk. And I think it's working, man. I think, you know, a lot, like you, everybody was saying, this is a downgrade for Cody. I thought it was fine. I thought it was a good match. Cody won, as he should. But surprisingly, no Brock Lesnar. Everybody thought Brock was going to pop up and set up the third match, the rubber match.
You didn't need it.
He didn't show up.
I mean, here's what I would do if I was WWE. I find out where Roman went for his improv classes, because that's how he got better on the mic. I buy the whole fucking company, and you make them an internal company.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if it's UCB. You buy UCB, you bring them in, and you have them work with your comp. Roman is so much better on the mic that I now believe that it's a teachable skill.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it's a lot has to do with the writing.
Yes, the writing needs to be there for sure, but it's definitely teachable in terms of how comfortable you look on the mic. And Roman has changed, and I think Dom will get there. His father didn't, but I don't think it was as important as it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely the most improved I've ever seen from, like, 5 years ago. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's horrible on the mic. And now it's like you stop and want to hear what he has to say, which is, you know, rare.
Yeah, man. To go back real quick to the men's ladder match, I wanted to touch on Damian Priest's outfit. I thought it looked like a rogue from Diablo 4 or something, but it was actually Skeletor. And I thought that was, you know, I thought it was a cool look for him, superhero type of look. But then afterwards, he came out and called himself Senor Money in the Bank. And I'm not, just, no, don't do it, dude.
It's too late.
I like it.
You're like Senor Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird. To me, as a you know, a metal type of dude, gothy kind of Latino myself, I don't vibe with the what he looks like. And what he is representing in terms of Latino culture. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't...
You don't like the eyeliner?
I don't mind the eyeliner. I just don't mind... I don't connect with eyeliner and Senor Money in the Bank. It doesn't really add up for me. But whatever. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he won the suitcase. LA Knight should have won it anyway, though. Yeah. Moving along, after Cody and Dom. I don't know if it was right after or not, but we can talk about John Cena. Pop of the night, like you said. I thought it was maybe LA Knight, but you're right. It was Cena, obviously, because nobody was expecting that.
It was a surprise. We're getting back to surprises, and this will make people tune into the show.
Yeah.
The fact that you don't know who's going to be there, you don't know what's going to happen, but you want to make sure you see it when it happens.
I found it interesting, though, that he comes out to try and push WrestleMania London, and then in the press conference, Triple H is like, well...
Well, I think
hold on a second.
Well, so I think what Triple H was saying, which I think this was a genius move, because what Triple H was saying is basically it's not just us saying let's do it in here. It's
right.
Peacock. It's because Peacock's screaming it, and it's the investors. It's the shareholders.
It's getting London to pay them to be there too.
No, it's getting London to tone them to tone the fuck down, like. What you were saying, the crowd gets that crowd is particularly rowdy. This was planting the seed of, hey, we want you to be loud. We don't want you to be disgusting jerk offs. So when you're screaming wanker at Grayson Waller,
yeah,
we want you to not do that, because we have a child. We have, while we're getting a little bit more at PG-13, we still have a PG audience and can't have you screaming fuck for a 4-hour premium live event.
Yeah. Well, I also think that this is a direct move against AEW with the Wembley Stadium. This feels to me like, you know what? We'll sell more tickets at Wembley Stadium.
Oh, they absolutely will blow the place up, but there are other things that they're trying to argue. I don't think in the stadiums out there you could have the fireworks and the pyro,
because why not?
I think it's just something they don't allow in the venues. That's at the press conference, one of the reporters apologized, said, "I just want to apologize on behalf of the UK. You deserve more. You deserve pyro."
Well, they had pyro, but it was like above.
It was like a pop. It was not.
They had it on the top. They had some fire and stuff on the top, but it was like way up on the top by the Titantrons.
Yeah, I don't think it's allowed to be where the people are, especially because of the setup of that, the layout of that.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a fan of that layout. It was similar to the one in Puerto Rico where they just come out and it's off to the side. I like the stage, you know, but we'll see. John Cena promoting WrestleMania London was fun. He seemed excited. It just felt like the crowd was maybe starting to get a little tired, and they send them out there to like get them back up on fire. You know?
That too. Yeah. I think it was a little bit of that, a little bit of planting the seeds of, "Hey guys, don't be jerk offs, and we'll try to get WrestleMania here. We have to convince the shareholders you're not going to scream cunt for 4 hours."
Among other things.
And then I wonder if it's setting up Grayson versus Cena at SummerSlam, and I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't think so.
I think Grayson Waller, who hasn't been wrestling, I guess he's cleared now that he took.
Took an F. No, what is it? That's not an F.
Attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
Now that he took the AA, I think he's cleared to wrestle. I don't think Cena should be losing again. So I just. Grayson needs to win. Cena needs to not lose. They are not a good combination for SummerSlam.
Here's a question: who retires John Cena? I would have said Austin Theory, but that already happened.
I mean, it's tough because it's who does he give the rub to? I would say it would be great if they brought back Angle for one more match.
Ooh.
But I think that's how you build Corbin up. You make Corbin do it. Mm. And you make Corbin the guy who retires people. Other than that, it would have to be Randy Orton or somebody that's still active that has had good battles with him. CM Punk.
Yeah. I mean,
well, he's older. CM Punk's older than him. So I think CM Punk's out before him.
Well, moving along from John Cena, we had Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. During the event, I was very confused by what happened with the turn. Shayna Baszler turned on Ronda Rousey out of nowhere after like 8 or 9 minutes of a match. It was kind of weird, but post-match, I got some context, which maybe they should have done, you know, a better job of explaining. They kind of tried. I think Michael Cole tried to explain, but Shayna Baszler was apparently, her gear was modeled after some Warhammer character that betrays his captain. So
that's not even context. That's just foreshadowing.
Yeah. The other context is, and it's something that wasn't announced either, is that apparently Ronda Rousey's contract is almost up and she has a hard out. And her demand was, "I want to feud with Baszler before I go," because apparently she wants to go back to the UFC.
Oh, no, that's not a good idea.
She's going to get smoked.
Yep. Oh, my God.
She'll get smoked, then she'll come back to WWE.
She won't come back, because if WWE gives enough money to Amanda Nunes, who's, I think, retired or retiring, Ronda's replaced easily.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Amanda Nunes can barely speak English. Like,
that's
it
true.
It
does so for promo. No, she can speak
English. Our Money
in
the Bank, our women's champion. I mean,
you'd have to pair her with a Heyman type. Like, yeah. That was part of the problem, I think, when promoting her when she was the champ, is, you know, she's a little rough, you know, with the diction. Like, you know, she's a very thick accent. So, you know, I could see them bringing in Holly Holm.
Oh, that's true too. That would be a nice.
She was the first to beat Rousey's ass, and you know, I'm sure there's. And the beauty of that is you could have like a half shoot, half wrestling match.
I just don't think Holly Holm is a household name the way that Ronda is, but I think Amanda Nunes is getting there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If this is the case that Ronda is leaving, which apparently that's the case. It makes sense why this turn, if she wants to have that feud. It just happened kind of out of nowhere with no build-up, no dissension, no, like, bickering even a couple of weeks before, maybe. Like, they've had zero bickering. They've been like, buddy buddies, I love you, oh my God.
But you didn't see that. I mean, I saw this coming from a mile away. I just thought it would be different. I thought they were going to lose straight, like, just a pinfall loss. And then the attack was going to happen. I do agree the mid-match attack was very weird.
It was just odd. But, you know, again, very happy to see Liv Morgan and Raquel with the belts again. They never lost them, so it's, you know, it rebuilds them up. It's good to see Liv back in the ring. So, you know, congratulations to Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, the new women's champions. And apparently that also means they can now go to NXT and both shows. They're going to have more exposure, more TV time, which is great. Moving along, Gunther beat the shit out of Riddle.
Thank God.
Really good match. I picked Riddle because I was trying to be contrarian, but Gunther was the right call. I lost my mind when he started chopping his foot. Did you see that?
That was
match?
Pretty funny.
That was right before he tapped him out.
Yeah. Hold the foot up and just fuck your foot. I thought that was fantastic. But speaking about what you mentioned Randy Orton earlier, I think everybody was expecting Randy Orton to pop in and show up.
I think he's coming back to Raw tomorrow.
Maybe.
I don't think they were going to fly him out there and not have him really do it. I think he's coming back to Raw tomorrow.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's going to attack Riddle, and I can't wait.
The inevitable RK-Bro turn that everybody was expecting is going to actually
happen. Yeah. Or they're going to get back together, and they have a cool feud with Kevin Owens, because they were setting up Kevin Owens versus Riddle for something. It might be Riddle find a partner, and he brings back Orton, and they go for it, but I'm so over Riddle enough.
He's like the new Heath Slater.
Though. Oh my God! Fucking enough with this guy. He's not that good.
He's got the look.
He's very good in the ring, not very good on the mic at all. The character sucks, but when it comes to wrestling, he's very, very good. Which is what bothers me because I love his mat, like his mat work, his moves, the way he strikes. But yeah, his character sucks.
I hate it all. I hate the long. He's the one person where I see him with the long hair, and I'm like. No, I don't like this guy. Normally, like Pretty Deadly, no problem with them. Him, I just fucking hate it. The whole character's annoying. The shoes that he kicks off in the beginning, the fucking animals running out. Enough.
I kind of enjoy trying to figure out what new animals, because they've had giraffes at one point.
Yeah.
And birds, and it's wild. But speaking of long hairs and that match, after the match, Drew McIntyre made his return that everybody was kind of hoping for in Europe. You know, big pop. But I got to say, I'm not excited about this. Gunther already beat Drew McIntyre and Sheamus at the same time at WrestleMania. How am I supposed to be excited for this? I don't get it. One-on-one against McIntyre. I mean, it'll be a fun match regardless. There'll be a lot of chopping, a lot of hard-hitting action. But how can you get excited when Gunther already beat him and Sheamus together?
I mean, everyone deserves a rematch. You know?
I guess. It should be fun. Either way, it'll be exciting to see.
There's probably not that many people willing to bang with Gunther. Like, he's a pretty big boy. Like, I'm sure he's been offered to other people, and they're like, he's not doing that shit to me.
Not chopping my foot. after that, we also had Finn Balor and Seth freaking Rollins. Great match also. Not the outcome I wanted. It seemed like he was about to win the match. And then Priest stood up with the little briefcase to kind of tease a cash-in, which then gave Seth Rollins the opening. I thought that made Rollins look weak. Like, he kind of just snuck away. Like, he should have lost that match. And, you know, Balor was clearly about to win the match. So it makes Rollins look weak. But it helps the story with the dissension that's going on in Judgment Day with Finn Balor. I'm so tired of seeing Finn lose, man. I really am. Like, the dude is clearly one of the best in the world, and they just keep... And you'd think Triple H likes him, because every time they see each other, they do the too sweet, but nothing. He always gets shit on.
I truly start to believe that Triple H just wants some of these guys to put in their time, help his guys... And then there's going to be a payoff. That's what Rollins did. Rollins was doing it with Cody for a long time. He was doing it. Rollins was getting beat by everybody. So I think Rollins needs his moment. He earned his moment as champion. And from there, other people will start to get those opportunities. I think Balor is absolutely on the list. I just don't think he's going to win the title until Damian Priest is champion. I think that's going to be it. I think that's going to be the final. Because I don't want another civil war. I don't want Damian Priest versus Balor if there's no title on the line. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love for a cat. As much as I want Rollins to get his due and be champ for a while, I would be fine with Damian Priest cashing it in tomorrow night and we get Priest versus Balor at SummerSlam and Balor takes it. But Priest is going to also, like, he's going to be champ for a while. Yeah. So I think we see a Priest cash in at SummerSlam, and then going into the fall, we have Balor Priest headlining some shows.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They got to do something with Balor. I know that I feel like we say that every once in a while with different superstars. Like, oh, they got to do something with LA Knight. They got to do something with this guy. But Balor's paid his dues. And like I said, he's older than LA Knight. 42, I think he is, maybe 43. Yeah. So, no, he's 42. He's my age. So he's got to do, they got to start taking it. I mean, he's in tremendous shape too. But eventually, he's going to start leaning into the 50s, like getting close to 50. Come on. He deserves a title run. Anyway, moving along, we had the Bloodline Civil War closing out the night, because even though we had championships on the line, this is still the biggest story in WWE. Tremendous match. It felt like it went by really quickly. I thought, you know, it felt like a blink, really. But Roman Reigns pinned for the first time in 3 years by Jey Uso. Right call, I would say.
That was pretty perfect.
Right call, right move for the story. I don't really know where we go from here. Do we do Jey and Roman solo single match?
I think we do it because Roman needs to defend the title. I don't think anybody from the Bloodline is taking that title from him.
Hmm.
So I think it comes down to just holding it off until the next big title defense, which is going to be God knows who.
That's my issue. Like, where do we go from here? If it's not Cody, LA Knight maybe, but like, it's either Jey versus Roman. I'm sure that match is going to happen because Roman's going to want revenge for what happened, for eating a pin. I like the little wrinkle they put in the story in SmackDown where the Usos were like, you know what? We acknowledge you, Solo. You're the tribal chief. You're the next tribal chief.
Yeah.
And it kind of made Solo like, huh, wait a minute. I can probably kick Roman's ass. So I like that little wrinkle in the story, but
I mean, do we see Brock coming back, taking the title from Roman, shocking everybody the same way he did that to Undertaker, and then Cody finishes the story with Brock for the title?
That makes a whole lot of sense to me because
it does, but I think I kind of want that. Roman has the backstory with Cody. They were both trained by Dusty. Like, there's just something about the Roman story that makes it feel a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, it'll feel better. But Earl missed the part that I mentioned. But Paul Heyman's walking around with a belt that has Brock Lesnar side plates with Roman. It's kind of weird. So that might be a hint. It might just be a trophy. Maybe he's holding it as a trophy. Like, hey, I took this from Brock and I'm just going to keep his side plates as a trophy. But I don't know. I like that idea, though. I like Brock coming in, destroying Roman, taking the belt, and then we finish the story with Cody, because I don't really understand where we go from here in terms of big-time matches. And I don't even know how we infuse Cody back into the mix if it's not Rumble. And I don't really want to see Cody win the Rumble two years in a row. I think, like you said, LA Knight is a better pick for Royal Rumble. But last thing I have is, what do you think was the match of the night? I don't know how many matches you caught, Earl.
I mean, I can't imagine anything being better than the men's ladder match.
Yeah, that was your match.
I mean, that's the only one I've seen, in full disclosure, but I, you know, I'm going to.
Okay.
I'll go with the men's ladder match.
John?
I thought the Bloodline match was pretty solid. I think I was genuinely shocked when he stacked them and they both kicked out at the same time. Stacked on top of each other. I was like, oh, they're winning this match.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought there was a, there were a lot of, I thought that was a pretty solid match. I'm trying to think of some of the other matches, but I think that was it for me.
For me, I'm going to say it. The women's ladder match was, I thought was almost better, if not better than the men's ladder match. The Bloodline match was amazing too. Like I said, all the matches were great. It was a really good pay-per-view. I'm excited about this new era of good pay-per-views. It's been a while because there were years there where it was just shitty pay-per-view after shitty pay-per-view. So it's good that, you know, me waking up early to catch a pay-per-view was actually worth it. Some extra WWE news I put here, just a couple notes on NXT. Baron Corbin lost his match against Carmelo Hayes, which is, I think, a dumb move. He should have won. But it's worth mentioning he came back with his lone wolf persona. So hopefully we're done with this Happy Corbin bullshit.
It doesn't matter. He came back with a persona and lost. So to me, it doesn't. It's completely irrelevant what his persona is at this point.
Oh, man.
I agree.
I do hope there's going to be a payoff and they're going to be like, this guy earned it. Let's give him some. I'm indifferent at this point. If they brought it back and he lost his first match against an NXT superstar, regardless of how good Carmelo is, it's just like, this is embarrassing at this point.
Yeah, it was a bad move. They should have definitely given the belt to Baron, move Carmelo up to Raw. He was already on Raw, had a match. So just have him stay there and have Baron be a dominant champion in NXT for a bit so he can give the shine to a new guy, you know, whoever ends up beating him down the road. But nope, this is where we're at now. And then Bron Breakker, finish off that pay-per-view, Bron Breakker was like in Shawn Michaels' office yelling at him like, you can't control me, and then just walked out. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means he's just going to pop up in the main roster at will. We'll see. But one call-up that is going to start happening soon, the Creed brothers. I don't know if you've seen these guys, but they're like, I don't know how to describe them, but they're like legit wrestlers. You know, they kind of remind me of early Brock, early Kurt Angle type of, you know, legit shooters. And they had a match with the Dyad, which is the Rock's daughter's faction with the Grizzled Young Vets, who they announced the match as Winner Leaves NXT. And the Dyad guys, the Grizzled Young Vets, have been requesting their release from WWE for, I don't know, a little over a year. And they won the match, so they don't get to leave NXT. They get stuck in NXT, but the Creed brothers are supposedly leaving NXT, which means they're probably going to go up to the main roster as well. That should be fun. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, why are they doing this? We still have the Street Profits that haven't been given their due yet. It's WWE's great at building talent. I genuinely think they're not everybody becomes a superstar, but they keep adding to a pile that keeps growing and not enough is getting delivered to the people that were already there.
Yeah.
It's like they keep adding mouths to feed, but there are only so many titles. And fucking Jim, KO and Sammy are holding both titles.
Yeah.
So it's like you're minimizing how many titles are available and you're bringing more people in. The Street Profits either need to break up or get some kind of title run.
Yeah, I agree. That keeps happening. We do need to figure out the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn title situation. They don't need to be carrying around four belts. Either split them up or unify them into one belt. But I don't know. We'll see. Like I pointed out on the group chat when we were watching the men's ladder match that every superstar that was in that match was a champion in NXT except for Logan Paul. And if you look at Roman and Seth Rollins, some of these names all come from NXT. So the system is obviously working. But yeah, like you said, we need to stop stacking them up on top of each other and start paying off some of the people that have been paying their dues, I think, like Finn Balor. Moving on to Earl's favorite topic. Let's go to AEW. Let's do this.
F yeah.
There was some fun, you know, we had Rampage, we had Dynamite and Collision. Three AEW shows in between the last episode, but we officially got the Guns joining the Bullet Club Gold. How do you feel about that?
I like that. I think it was well done, and they seem to be a good second pairing to Robinson and Jay White, like good underlings,
you know,
mentorship there.
I liked we got two words for you, and it wasn't suck it. It was guns up. So I'm happy for them. I think this is going to be a good move. I just hope they don't get rid of their entrance theme. I really like the Guns entrance music, this 8-bit video game sound. So hopefully they keep that moving forward. But I'd like to see some different wardrobe. Like the Shawn Michaels look is cool, but now that you're in the Bullet Club, you got to look a little bit more badass, a little more leather, a little more, you know, black jeans, that kind of thing. Samoa Joe versus Roderick Strong. Did you catch that on Collision? Oh, really? My goodness.
That, you know, Collision, the last, really all three episodes have been very good. Like, I think they're onto something there. You know, I know people were a little worried about, well, no one's going to watch this on a Saturday night. But the last two episodes have been really good.
Okay. Yeah.
So, my opinion.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them. They've been really good. You know, really good wrestling has been shown. Obviously, we got to deal with CM Punk being there all the time, but...
But I still don't like how they mix the Ring of Honor guys in. It's just like, I think that should be separate.
Yeah.
You've got more than enough guys on the AEW roster where Collision could be another standalone show, and then maybe once a year, you do a super card with, like, maybe the London thing where you have some Ring of Honor guys. You have It just confused.
How many writers do you think these fucking people have? They can't get writing. They can't get good writing on one show.
We might be.
You think
up
we're gonna
next.
Give them a fourth show?
Well, I know Brian Danielson's helping with writing on creative
for Ring of Honor. For Collision.
For Collision. For Ring of Honor, they have Jerry Lynn and Stokely Hathaway. I believe is helping. I don't know. There's. It's funny because you mentioned Supercard. Ring of Honor has a pay per view called Supercard of Honor. It makes perfect sense for them to do that, but. Tony Khan, in a press media thing, mentioned kind of like, he's like, you know, it's Ring of Honor is kind of like their developmental. It's their NXT, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is.
I don't think Samoa Joe should be in their NXT.
Me neither. I don't think so either, but it's just that's how he's treating it. It's a place where he could bring in new talent, and it won't really hurt if they don't do too well because not a lot of people are watching Ring of Honor on Honor Club or whatever the
fuck. I don't even know how to watch it.
Like, you got to be a part of Honor Club. I think it's like $7 a month or some shit.
Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. Sorry, AEW, but just come on.
We support you enough.
Yeah, come on. I'm wearing my Malachi Black shit. All right. But Punk was on commentary for this Samoa Joe and Roderick Strong match. And I'm... I got to give it to TK, man. Got some balls giving CM Punk a live mic for a whole match. I don't know.
I mean, he's engaging. Like, he gets people talking, whether you love him or hate him. Like, that's the whole point of why we watch wrestling. And he's in that perfect mode of you'll pay to see him lose, I'll pay to see him win, and John's probably in the middle. Like, he'll pay to see something good happen. Like, John, are you a Punk guy or not really? Or
not anymore. I used to love him as the best in the world. You come in and you actually prove it, and those days are over. So now he's just coming in as a bitter mid-carder at best. He botches fucking everything. He is whiny. I think he's a little bit jaded about the new guys.
I've been there.
I think you are.
That's why you like him so much.
You're the CM Punk of the comedy scene.
There you go.
I speak the truth.
You do. And then then they threaten you and they try to silence you.
No, they did silence
me. They did silence you pretty bad.
Improv and Factory ain't put me up. I got to stay at the store. So everyone's great.
Dude, and look, man, did you catch the CM Punk Fight Forever video game commercial?
No.
Good Lord, man. He didn't even try. He was like, yeah, so it's called Fight Forever, and it's on the Switch. Like, I don't play video games, but...
Okay,
like,
but part of me feels like that's what was scripted for him to make it seem like he was too cool for video games.
Maybe. But
I think they're trying to turn him into the most hateable person in the history of wrestling.
They are doing a good job.
Yeah, yes, they're doing a great job. That's your plan. If that's the plan, then great, because you're doing it. Because, man, he didn't even try for that ad.
They should have two people promote that game. Omega, because he's a gamer.
Right.
And
Kamala.
Kamala's going to be a tough guy.
That's it.
And MJF, because he could cut a funny...
Oh, he did one. He did one.
But, like, I would let him loose. Go, here's, you don't need a script. Just say how you feel, and we'll film it. So, or the Bucks. You know, I don't know if they're gamers.
The Bucks are somewhat gamers, but, yeah. I don't know.
Omega's really the only one who admits I like video games. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that CM Punk ad just did nothing to win me over to buy the game. But what else we had? So I wanted to point out, and look, I love AEW, but there's something going on. And MJF doesn't even have a story right now. What's the story with MJF? He came out and did a squash match with a local talent as the champion. And then they brought out Ethan Page... Squashed him too. He's in a blind. By the way, I hate the blind tag eliminator, whatever the fuck.
I like it.
What is this, though?
I'm going to turn you on to something that will make you like it, both of you. 1991, they did a pay-per-view, Lethal Lottery. It's the same idea. It's literally, like at the time, Sting was feuding with Abdullah the Butcher. mysteriously, they've become tag team partners. The Garvins. No, the Freebirds were against each other. Like, and each one had the enemy of the Freebirds. It's, I think if they do it right, which I think they have Keith Lee and Swerve back together.
Yeah, like that.
I
yeah.
do like it. Like, all right. Like I'm trying to think. Like, you could put Omega and now this would get them back in business. Omega and Punk.
Oof.
Like, that would get people talking. Now, they boys, can you get along for just three matches? And then maybe that sets up London. Like,
it's possible. I mean, here's the thing with MJF. Like, the fact that he has no... It's why I think I'm okay with the route that WWE is going with LA Knight. Because I think there are some people that just sell more merch during the chase. So, not to say it was great that MJF was off TV for all that time, but him going after the title, complaining about not having opportunities, attacking people... That was his character, and people liked that. And then you finally give him the belt. I saw the same thing happen with Daniel Bryan when he won the belt at WrestleMania. Huge moment after all the fighting with Triple H and not getting opportunities. After that, it was just like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
And but- and sometimes that's what happens, and I think they're probably making more money off LA Knight right now than they will if they give him the belt. I think he'll sell a few belts. He'll in the beginning, he'll sell... some more shirts because he's the fucking champion. But I think the chase is what people like. Like him coming out talking shit like, I deserve this, I want this, I'm coming after this. Talking about the money in the bank, getting the briefcase, talking all the trash to Logan Paul. Everybody loves that. Once you give him the belt, what now? Now he has to actually hold on to it. It's a little bit less exciting.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of odd to have your world champion doing open challenges and squashing local talent and...
I kind of think it's funny. Like, you could build it where he won't. He doesn't want to lose the title, so he's just beating up on jobbers like Brooklyn Brawlers in every city.
Yeah.
Like that's funny to me. Like,
I think that there's a better way they could be doing it to make it look like he's just storyless. But yeah, I think it's funny that because they used to do that all the time. It used to be you have to open challenge to whoever's back there that thinks, and then it would just be the biggest schlub in the area.
Iron Mike Sharp and like,
or like it was Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Didn't one of them just lay down for the other one?
Yeah.
For a it's like stuff like that where he technically a defending champion and like at the end it's he's defended the title 200 times. Yeah, but we don't remember 199 of his opponents.
But then you do it like maybe the not at London, but you because that's the next pay-per-view for AEW, right?
I think so.
I don't know how you could do it.
I mean,
it,
they do one every 6 months. I guess that's next.
But at some point you do it where I'll take on anyone. They're in some podunk town and... You know, like a Goldberg type comes out, like you save your surprise for that, or someone, you know, I don't know, Wardlow or something. I have two schools of thought on MJF. You either put him in there with someone who can hang with him on the mic, or you do what they're doing now, which is almost a humor angle of him beating up jobbers. You know, like Eddie Kingston and him would be a good, because they're kind of building Kingston up now to like get back in the main event picture.
Oh yeah.
So I wouldn't mind seeing that because his butt, you know, Eddie Kingston's like AEW's Dusty Rhodes to me. You know, he's the common man. He's got a horrible body. He looks like someone who works at Walmart.
Yeah.
And MJF's the opposite. He looks like someone who's a country club brat on the good weightlifting program.
Yeah, I mean, and we have the opportunity with Eddie Kingston doing the G1 climax. I think that if he wins that. That elevates him as a star that you can possibly, you know, give him that shot with.
Or, you know, or like I did, like if they don't do Omega Osprey 3, which I don't know if there's a need for that in London, like, you know, I would love to see Osprey and MJF go at it. Like,
good mic, gotta be some good mic battles.
Oh
for
my
sure.
God, the viral moments on both sides of that. And then, you know, it'd be a great match. I mean, MJF doesn't get the credit, I think, for being a pretty good wrestler.
Yeah.
And yeah. Osprey is what he is.
I'm being a hater also with the blind tag tournament thing, but it obviously works because I'm pretty sure Earl bought the I'm better than you, baby shirt.
100%. 2 minutes. I have about 6 pending orders on because they kept putting. I bought the lowest rule shirt. I bought, I don't even know. I have so many shirts coming in. Like, my UPS guy probably thinks I'm a fucking freak. I got three shirts coming from RicFlair.com. He's got some great merch, Ric Flair. Like, he has like 40 different... He's like Iron Maiden. He's like 50 different shirts. And, but, you know, I do think... I would love Kingston. If he wins the G1, that maybe him and MJF in London, you know. Or,
that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I saw that shirt immediately. I'm like, I know Earl's going to buy that. Dude, two of your favorite people right there.
They didn't even cut to commercial before I was like, AEW shop, large.
It was also, I believe it was maybe your buddies in heel marks, but somebody posted a clip of Adam Cole's Twitch stream, because he plays video games on Twitch every day. And he was in the middle of something, and MJF actually calls him. And Adam Cole's like, oh, you know, listen, man, I keep wrestling and my Twitch thing separate. I really don't want to talk about wrestling right now. And he's like, no, I think it'd be really cool. I was thinking, you know, you and I can do like a double clothesline, you know, like try to be his buddy. And he's like, you're not playing video games on Twitch, right? Like a loser. And it's just like I kind of enjoyed. That he keeps trying to be like his annoying buddy and like interfering with his personal life. I think that was kind of cool. I'll give him that.
Did you see the press conference when he called the reporter fat?
Oh.
Like, hey, he's like, congratulations for your win, Mr. MJF. He's like, congratulations on having type 2 diabetes. Like, geez. And Tony Khan's look, there's a meme. Like, Tony Khan's like, oh, fuck, here we go. Here we go with another press conference gone wrong. But
I know, I know that you probably will have some feelings on this, but like, maybe. I would like to see MJF on a roast battle.
Doing one,
like being one, in one.
Well, you know, you talk about something that could get me back into that show. That would be the only thing I would love.
You versus MJF?
I would love to see. But here's the problem. You know, MJF is like Jimmy Carr. You know, those guys aren't used to being spoken to in the manner that I would speak to the men. So he would be good at it. But I think it depends who his opponent would be. You know, like.
It would have to be you. Otherwise, I won't watch it either.
I mean, that is the one thing that would get me back onto roast battle. It wouldn't be battling some open micer. MJF, I'll beat your ass.
Oh, there's your clip for the week right there.
From one Jew to another. Roast battle's real, bitch.
Yeah, let's get Superstars of David to campaign this whole thing.
Those guys harass me online. I'm not gonna lie. Those guys are trolling hard with, you know, they say some mildly inappropriate stuff about me not supporting the Jewish faith. Like, it's like, you know, it takes for one person to see that and go, he's racist. I'm a Jew. How can I be racist towards Jews?
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. Other news in AEW. A quick shout out to our buddy, Mr. John Hennigan. I believe he's All Elite now. I don't know if he's officially All Elite, but I think so.
Johnny TV, another
Johnny
name.
Johnny TV, there we go. He joined QTV, which, okay, I guess. I don't think he needs them, but, you know, at least he's on the show and signed. So Johnny TV and QTV are a thing. He had his first match back. Just made me happy to see him.
I will say I did like their match against the Acclaimed. When the who's the blonde girl with the
right? I forget her name, but she looks like a porn star.
And she was picking up on.
She was hitting on Bowens.
And he's like, "You think I'm into you? I'm gay." And the crowd erupted. Like
there was a he's gay chant going on.
Because if you remember when Billy and Chuck, you know, they said, "Hey, we're not gay," and the crowd like erupted, like it would be the worst thing in the world if they were gay, but. Here it was like the opposite, like, oh my God, he's gay.
Yeah, it was a good moment. It was you know, something I never thought I'd see, a wrestling crowd positively chanting he is gay.
Yeah.
I also popped at Billy Gunn's reaction when he said it.
Yeah.
He seemed like a proud papa, gave him a hug and everything, like, aw.
Yes, I mean, I remember the times when my favorite wrestling sign ever was Vince McMahon is a homo. Like, it's like, what? Like, it's the greatest wrestling sign ever. Like, I've never seen one that's even come close to that.
Yeah.
So it's good to...
we've come a long way as a community in wrestling.
Well, who would have thought pro wrestling would be like the the path blazers for accepting, you know, you have trans wrestlers now, you have people announcing they're gay and the crowd applauds, and like, because hockey just so they won't wear pride jerseys anymore, because it was, some of the Russian players were like, that's, we're not anti-gay, but it's not our religion, it's not our religious views to accept gay people. Right. So wrestling is, like, it's mind-blowing to me, given the era we all grew up in, and certainly me, because I'm a little before you guys, and like, you know, Jerry Lawler calling, I think it was Playboy Buddy Rose, the F word on live TV. Like, you're not getting that. It makes me happy, actually, that people are accepted for, you know.
Did you pick up an AEW Pride shirt yet?
I did. Yeah. I just swear to God, I have so many shirts coming in. I wish I brought I have an AEW Pride. RJ City, a friend of the show.
Oh, did you buy the Wrestle Aunts shirt?
I did, with the Renee Paquette. They have a a collaboration shirt. I think I bought one more. I bought a Bruv shirt from Will Ospreay.
Okay.
So we're going to play a game. How many shirts that are... I think I got about 12 shirts, not including the three from Ric Flair. How many shirts will have a defect or a hole in them?
Ooh, yes. We'll take shots.
I'm going to say...
I'll take shots.
I'm going to say two.
I'm going to say three.
At least one.
And so there's full transparency. I will open the packages here so you don't think like I like stabbed a knife.
Yeah.
You know, there's no...
And not just holes. Let's count any kind of like off-centered prints.
I mean...
You know what I mean? Shit happens.
The Ospreay shirt I have where I think the tagline is he can do it all, or there's something of that effect. Like, I'll give Kiss this. They might over-merchandise, but this is straight up...
Yeah.
If this pro wrestling tees made Kiss shirts, this would be like over here pointing this way. So thank you, Gene Simmons, for at least making the shirts, I don't know, square.
Yeah. I'm buying some shirts actually tomorrow. I was going to buy them today while I was watching Collision. I saw the Bullet Club Gold with the guns. Right. So I'm going to buy a Bullet Club Gold shirt. But tomorrow, Monday, July 3rd, they're doing their 4th of July sale, so I'm just going to hold off.
So what is that, like 20% off?
I think it's like 20% off, yeah.
I might buy one more Juice Robinson shirt that says Rock Hard.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
I just want to walk around in a shirt that says that.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen you walk around with the Scissor Me Daddy one yet, but...
I have walked around my neighborhood, and I get those strangest looks. I had it on the other night, walking Lois in this... really good-looking gay man. He's like, are you straight or gay? I'm like, I'm straight. He's like, well, you're giving me daddy vibes. And how could I, like, with that shirt on? I mean, probably,
pretty obvious, yeah.
I won't say what his follow-up line was, but it was like, gay men are aggressive. I'm just going to say that.
Hey, I'm all for it. Go for it, guys.
Yeah, hey, be who you are.
That's right. We have to talk about the Sting spot.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it, but I just read this on your rundown and laughed at lost a tooth.
Yep, lost the bottom tooth, getting implants, I believe. Whole bottom lip cracked open, completely cracked open.
He probably has dentures anyways. You must look it up, dude. Like,
I'm going to watch it. I have to catch up on some of the AEW stuff because I've just been...
But
just swamped here.
It's insane, dude. You could see it in the crowd reaction too, because Darby was climbing the ladder to do the jump off that everybody expected, and then Sting climbs the other side. He's like, "No, no, I got this." And Darby's like, "Really?" He's like, "Yep." He's like, okay. Turns around, jumps from inside of the ring outside through two tables, but the second table didn't really break, and you could he either hit the edge of the second table. Or maybe like...
I think he hit Guevara's knee.
Guevara's knee or something, but busted right in the middle. You can see him immediately just like, ooh, fuck. Like, oh, no.
It was probably the table because it looks like... I would assume if it split down the middle, it's exactly what Logan Paul had on his shoulder. Yeah. That wood breaks easy.
That wood does break easy, but...
But you could tell even Guevara... Watch Guevara. Like, it's like the Zapruder film. You could watch it a few times. Even he knew, like, I don't think Sting's going to make this. So he's trying to get as close to the edge as possible for Sting to, like, you know. But I did like the way they did it. Like, because I did mark out, like, oh. Because when they set it up, I'm like, there's no way Sting can do that. Like, you know, I don't even know if Darby could barely do it.
Yeah.
And then, dude, it's pretty impressive. Like, 63 years old and, you know. And plus, he gets Guevara back for Forbidden Door, you know.
Because that spin that he got.
So
he went back in the ring. Like, he came back after that. It wasn't.
Because it's humiliating if that takes you out of the match.
Yeah, but he didn't have to. He could have just chilled at the bottom, but no, he went right back in. I think he won with the Scorpion Deathlock. Yeah,
very fun match. Yeah, they protect Sting when he has to actually wrestle. You know, he does the spots, the running into the corner, you know, and the Scorpion Death Drop and the Death, like his version of the Lion Tamer, I guess. I guess it's the same, but. So it was fun. I mean,
yeah, he came. He cut a promo after the cameras went off air, which is where I found out about the tooth and everything, because he says it out loud. But that's the other thing. After the match, he still goes and cuts a promo like, I gotta go get some stitches in my mouth. I'm probably gonna fix my tooth because it's gone. okay. But he also thanked Tony Khan. Like, thank you, Tony Khan, for letting me do this. I was like. So some people are like, man, Tony Khan's going to kill Sting with these spots. It's like, Sting wants to do these spots.
Yeah, but also as the adult, you have to say no. I'm sure there are plenty of people that want to compete in WWE when they're injured, and the powers that be will be like, this is not going to be our newest headache, especially after the CM Punk thing. Like,
yeah.
Tony Khan needs to realize how fucked he is if he's like, oh, this 90-year-old man wants to do a stage dive. Let's let him do it.
Tony Khan's a little kid next to
Stare. I'm still terrified
for
Paige. I'm terrified that Paige wasn't properly cleared.
Yeah.
I mean, she's doing fine so far, but I'm genuinely scared that dealing with all the botches in AEW, her neck's not as protected as it should be.
Yeah.
They seem to be protecting her, though, like not putting her in any wacky matches. I mean, I think...
Giving her a faction is a good move, so she doesn't have to take all of the damage.
And, you know, Sting's basically in most of the humor matches, I mean, outside of Jay Lethal, who takes on most of those. So, you know, like, Jericho showed him respect. Like,
yeah.
You know.
So. Yeah, by the way, Jericho needs to stop with the Painmaker. It's not as cool as you think it is, Chris. I'm sorry.
That's another shirt I bought.
You bought the Painmaker shirt? Like, I love the idea of trying to reinvent yourself into, like, a... crazier version of yourself, but it's just I get like emo girl Hot Topic vibes when I see that makeup, that fucking kind of like bent to the side lip thing. It's just kind of like, I'm pretty, like it's not as cool as he thinks it is, but fun match. Either way, you know, the whole battle with the bats was fun when they did like a sword fight.
You know, you gotta have some humor. I mean, I don't know if I would have had it as the main event.
No.
But maybe given what spot they knew. I mean, that was a moment that everyone talked about the next day.
Yeah, the Stinger Splash, yeah.
So, I mean, that was trending. So maybe it should have been, given that nothing else was going to be trending.
Was it Rampage? I don't know. My problem with the shows is that they're blending in. Like, I don't know which was on Rampage.
It was Dynamite.
Dynamite? Okay. Well, you know, the last thing I do have for AEW, which I wanted your opinion on, Jungle Boy coming out and turning heel, cutting a heel promo. What did you think about his first heel promo?
I mean, he's got some work to do.
I mean, I could tell you I didn't even see the promo, but I can never picture Jungle Boy as a heel.
Yeah. Well, I like it from that standpoint, just for what you just said. Like, it's different.
But I don't buy it. I like different if you buy it.
Well, it's like, yeah, everyone knows what a great guy he is. Like, you know, out, you know, in real life, he's like apparently like the most nicest fucking guy on earth. But I think, and it's too bad Dusty Rhodes, he would be the perfect guy to take him into a studio and go, I can't do a Dusty Rhodes impression, but like, you know, he definitely needs someone to help him, maybe Flair, you know, not that you want him yelling, but I mean, I see potential in him as a heel because he had the glasses on,
the leather jacket.
Like, there's something there. He's very talented, but, you know, for his first promo, I'll give him a B- as a heel.
Yeah, he felt a little more comfortable, I think, being like the way he was talking felt less shaky, because when he was a babyface, he was kind of shaky. He felt less shaky, but the lines, I think he said, I'm cashing fat checks, and I'm still banging the hottest bitch in the company. It's like, okay.
It's a little forced. But it was funny. Like, you could tell he was having fun. Like,
yeah,
this is like acting for me. Like, I never get to be the heel. Like, so, you know, I'm rooting for him. I don't know if I can ever see him as a champion. Like,
no.
But, you know, smart. It keeps him interesting to the fans. I mean, I think that him being like the babyface good guy is a little long in the tooth right now. Because then he could come back to being a face. Going, I had amnesia. I don't know what happened. Yeah. So it was all right. B minus.
All right. Well, that'll do it in terms of AEW and wrestling news for the week. It was a lot. And I just feel three AEW shows a week, three WWE shows a week. I mean, I think there's wrestling every day of the week now almost, except for Sundays, unless there's a pay-per-view.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fucking wrestling,
you
guys.
MLF, you have New Japan, whatever they're doing. You've got TNA.
Impact, Ring Impact. Of Honor. Yeah, there's a lot of wrestling going on. I'm trying to keep up with all of it, but it's getting hard to keep. XPW, I just saw somebody, Vice, put out a documentary on XPW and Rob Black. Maybe you need to watch.
I probably could have produced it.
But yeah, that's enough for us. I'm excited to see the fallout from Money in the Bank, see if Damian Priest cashes in on somebody. But yeah, we'll be back next week with some more wrestling news. Please follow the show at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Stores War on Twitter. Follow me at RRBG Podcast. Earl, where can they follow you?
Earl Skakel everywhere. And if you want to come to the Comedy Store, I'm here a couple times a week. Just DM me on Instagram, and I'll make sure you're taken care of.
John.
Say It Ain't Sosis on Instagram.
Say It Ain't Sosis. Follow him. And yeah, we'll see you next week.